Well, welcome to the Fast Cars, Fast Girls podcast with Abby and Molly. We're playing a little Billy Joel today because he's going to be playing in Indianapolis this Friday night. So
yeah, we will not be going.
We won't be going, although we do love Billy Joel, but we won't be there.
I mean, unless somebody wants to give me a ticket.
Yeah.
Not me.
And maybe cover my shift at work.
No, we need both of that to happen.
I need both of those things.
Please. It's okay.
So, all right. Well, we hope you guys have had a good week. We've had a good week. We are recording on Halloween.
So hopefully the doorbell doesn't ring because I'm one of those assholes who turn off the lights.
I mean, I'm at your house and not at mine, so obviously I'm not handing out any candy tonight either.
But, you know, it shouldn't. The kids do a good job around here. I also have no idea what trick-or-treating hours are.
I think 6 to 8 most places.
Hmm. Okay.
So we'll see in a half hour if the doorbell rings. So, all right, well, let's warm up the tires.
So we're going to talk about the silly season because last time after we finished, shit went down. So we're going to talk about that and kind of just do a recap of who's where, what's open, and what maybe could happen. Who can fit in what slot, as it were.
I won't.
We'll, of course, be talking about some female racers, our women crush of Wednesday, women crush Wednesday, shit we didn't make up, which I kind of dug deep in. And then we'll do a little bit more of the off-season education. We'll talk about the Mazda Road to Indy.
Yeah.
All right.
We'll learn some shit.
We'll learn some shit, because that's how we roll.
All right. Silly season and other news. So, Ed Jones, he had like a handshake deal with Dale Coyne when they left Sonoma.
Yes.
And behind closed doors, they kept it very secret. He actually signed on with Chip Ganassi.
Yes.
So, and that surprised everyone, including Dale Coyne.
Yeah, a little bit there.
Including Dale Coyne.
Including Dale.
Yeah.
I was trying to think, what, Sonoma was September...
17th.
And that happened the 23rd.
Mm-hmm.
So it was less than a month.
Or no, the 25th.
25th, that's right.
Yeah.
I'm the 23rd, you're the 25th. Yep.
Yeah, so it was, or it was over a month.
Just over a month.
Just over a month, 5 weeks maybe.
Math is hard.
Yeah. Math is hard. So, yeah. And it's amazing that they actually kept it as quiet as they did.
I'm very surprised.
Yeah.
But I think at the same time, if you're kind of doing a deal when you already have something in the works, although it's just a handshake deal, you probably don't want to go running around.
Yeah. You definitely don't want to run in your mouth.
So from the stories I've read, so yeah, like at Sonoma, they're like, here's what we're going to do. Like, great. Everybody shook on it. And then nothing happened. And Ed Jones kind of was like, well, shit, I don't have anything signed. I should start looking. And I think this is where it kind of conflicts. Some people said he told Dale. Some people said he didn't.
I mean, in the article that I read,
mm-hmm.
Dale Coyne said that, you know, they were like getting the contract together and doing that kind of business. So I don't know. I mean, I would bet that maybe he just got a better offer from Chip Ganassi.
I mean, it's kind of the deal. I mean, if it's not Penske or Andretti, Ganassi is kind of where you want to go to work with Scott Dixon.
Yeah.
And this leads me to my one piece of legal advice for the day. Hey, if it's not written down,
Doesn't count.
Like, a handshake deal is great, but
it means nothing.
It's non-enforceable in a court of law. So write it down. And get him to sign it, too. Just saying.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a big deal because everybody thought Ed was going to stay with Dale. And so instead of the Ganassi seat being kind of that most coveted seat, we've changed now. So the Dale Coyne open seat
is with Bourdais.
With Bourdais. That's kind of the big spot to get. So just to run down, there's a lot of stuff's happening. Penske's full. Pageant of New Garden Power confirmed. I mean, there's never been like a, hey, here's our guys, but I don't think their contract's up.
No, I don't think so either.
And then Castro Neves will be doing the 500, and from what Roger has said, that's it. He's not doing another car for the 500.
Yeah.
So, uh-oh, Juan. Juan is not happy. I have to. Every time. I have to. Andretti Autosport is full. We've got Marco, Ryan, Zach, and Rossi are all in. And then Stefan Wilson will be doing the 500 with Andretti.
Mm-hmm.
Chip Ganassi. So obviously Ed Jones is now there. And Scott Dixon. So they're full. Schmidt Peterson is full. Team Canada. Hashtag Team BFF.
Team BFF for sure.
Hinchcliffe and Wickens. So then Dale Coyne is where we've got our first open spot. So it's Bourdais. And then the open spot, which was Ed's old spot. So that's, okay, that's the first spot. Our Ray Hall is Ray Hall and Sato, so they're going to two cars. Foyt, they've got Kanaan, and then the number four car is open, but there's been rumors of Matthias Liest.
Matthias Liest.
Thank you.
So, which they would be Team Brazil.
They would be Team Brazil.
If he comes to race for them. I was like, that's all right. Any of the, like, Portuguese or Spanish speaking, I got you.
You got me. I was Matthias Liest. I definitely try to say it Germanic.
Yeah. So, AJ Foyt might be Team Brazil, which would be kind of funny, actually.
It would be kind of funny.
And then Ed Carpenter still has his road course buddy.
His road course buddy is still missing.
So that's still open. And then Harding Racing with Gabby Chavez, unconfirmed.
It's unconfirmed because Harding's not come out and said, we've got a team together and we're ready to go. I think everybody knows that when Harding comes out and says, we have a team, oh, and Gabby's driving.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. Maybe they'll have somebody else, we don't know. But for this point, we know that it definitely will be Gabby Chavez.
Yeah, definitely. Carlin Racing, unconfirmed. Mm-hmm. With the probable Max Chilton.
Probable Max Chilton. Carlin's got an Indy Lights team. And Chilton's dad is like one of the main financers of the team.
Also, I'd say that's pretty.
Apparently, you know, Chilton's, one of his big sponsors was like Gallagher Mortgage.
Oh.
His dad is like the CEO of it.
You know what? Good for him.
I mean, I'm not mad at them.
But yeah, good for him. Okay. And then Junkos Racing mm-hmm. is going to have Kyle Kaiser mm-hmm. race four races. They're hoping to expand that.
Right. And Kyle Kaiser won Indy Lights last time.
He did. He won the Indy Lights Championship. Yeah. And then Shank Racing is hoping.
They ran the 500. They want to do more. They want to do more than just the 500 this year.
Yeah. So hopefully they can make that happen.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting, though, with the whole, with the open seats and with Connor Daly and all that, is that whoever goes to Dale Coyne mm-hmm. is going to have to bring a significant amount of financing.
I mean, the game is who got the money.
It is. So, I mean, it's not about who's the best driver, who's got the most talent. It's about who can secure sponsorship, which is sad. Yeah, because there are people racing who
aren't
the best. Race.
And there are people who can't get a seat right now who are pretty darn good.
Yeah.
So, I mean, doing my math.
It is an expensive sport. I don't know how you would really combat that.
Well, part of the thought process behind moving to the Universal Chassis was that it was actually going to help.
Okay.
I'm not sure how. I just don't know how, but that was one of the whole things. Like, were they going to move to Universal Chassis, a Universal, you know, aero kit? And that would help keep the cost down.
Okay.
So they're hoping that that would bring more teams in if they move, but I don't know if that'll be this year or next year. All of a sudden we'll see all these teams really kind of grow and develop.
Yeah. Interesting. Well, hopefully sooner rather than later.
Yeah. So I'm seeing Coyne spot, Foyt spot, the road course, Carlin, but I mean, if they're just doing one seat, it's probably Chilton,
mm-hmm.
Shank Racing, which we're not even sure if they're going to go.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of people out there wanting spots.
Yes, there are. Esteban Gutierrez, Jack Harvey, mm-hmm. Zachary Clement DeMello, Sage Karam, Tristan Bodier, Munoz,
yeah.
Daly, Charlie Kimball, Santiago Ruscio.
Yeah, and that was the one, I think in June, he had came out and said, I have a deal that's basically ready to go with a team.
Yes.
But I've not seen anything yet.
No, but there's not been anything that came out, so.
Yeah, so I'm kind of like, well.
Maybe he had a handshake deal, too. Write it down, people. Write it down.
So the moral of the story today is write it down.
Write it down.
Get it signed.
Or it doesn't count. It's just wishful thinking.
Let me give you a little bit of legal advice here. Write the contract down, damn it.
Write it.
If you have a handshake, have somebody going, okay, now what were the terms? You should have boilerplate language.
I hear you.
Just saying.
I hear you.
I mean, we mentioned Harvey last time has kind of like a package of a few races put together.
He does.
He ran with Shank for the 500.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be.
Yeah, he could go with Shank.
He could go with Shank.
So
Munoz actually is talking about he might not even do anything but the 500.
Yeah, he thinks that that's more of a realistic goal for this season, is to do the 500, to do really well, and then to grow sponsorship kinda for the next season.
Sage, I don't know. He's modeling, so.
He is modeling, so.
Perhaps they will not let him race.
Yeah, he may not. So, it'll be interesting. We'll see what happens in the coming months.
Yeah. And so. See if we can end up going to Mexico.
Right? Yes, we do still need to hear about Mexico. And can we start a GoFundMe for Connor Daly?
I mean, I feel like we can.
I mean.
I don't know who's listening.
He's looking for like $2 million in scholarship or in like sponsorship money. Which, I don't have that kind of money. But can we start GoFundMe? Can we start harassing Pat McAfee to give him some money again?
Oh my god, if Barstool Sports sponsored a race car, I think the game would be over.
Oh, it would be over. It'd be, I mean, ridiculous.
It would be ridiculous.
Ridiculous. It'd be so much fun. On to female racers, our Woman Crush Wednesday. Mm-hmm. So, Tatiana Calderon.
Sounds good to me.
All right.
That's kind of how I was reading it. So she is currently She's a development driver in F1. So here's the reason why I thought she would be fun to do. Because obviously we don't know anything about F1 except, well, it's there.
It's there.
They have a ladder series. They only do road courses.
Yep.
They do not do ovals.
They do not do ovals.
Stop it. Oh, shit. That happens. That happens when you have a very anxious dog.
Yeah.
Anyway, please, no, please lie down. We're just going to let this one
get out.
Oh, you got lamb chop. Great. Anyway, there was a very interesting picture on Twitter, and I think it kind of harkens back to the whole reason why we started this podcast and whatnot, was that there was a picture of Tatiana in what I call the off-duty driver outfit, which is the black pants, the team polo, and the hat that they all wear.
Yep.
It's any...
The unofficial uniform.
The unofficial uniform when you're out of the car. And she was answering questions. She was obviously doing, like, some sort of presser event, perhaps. And in the corner of the photo, and then this was at, I guess it must have been at the Mexican GP. There were a few of the grid girls standing there, you know, in their very tight outfits, you know, stomach revealed, boobs up to the chin.
Yeah.
Makeup just like plastered on, hair perfect. And I was like, gosh darn. It's kind of a contrast.
Quite the contrast.
Quite the contrast. And I was like, well, who is this? Like, now I'm curious. Like, who is this? What does she do? So, looked her up. She's originally from Bogota, Colombia. Muy caliente. There you go. That's my Spanish. You're all welcome. let's see. From 2005 to 2010, she was in karting. She was the first female to win the, boy oh boy, Snap-on Stars of Karting Divisional Championship, GICA Eastern Championship, and the IAME International Challenge Champion.
Wow.
That's a lot to say.
From 2011 till present, she's been an open wheel.
Mm-hmm.
So in 2011, she was with Juncos Racing and Pro Mazda.
Yeah.
She also did F3 testing for Team West Tech.
Yep.
2015 and 2016, she came in second place in the MRF Challenge Formula 2000. In 2015, she led the Spa Francorchamps in Belgium, becoming the first woman to lead an F3 race.
Which is pretty cool.
It is pretty cool.
It's pretty cool.
Actually.
Yeah.
First woman ever to lead an F3 race. In 2016, she became the first female to drive with the Arden International team.
Mm-hmm.
And in 2017, she became the development driver for Sauber F1.
So Sauber, I did some Googling when I was sitting in my CLE today. So their CEO is Manisha Kettleborn. She's the first female to lead an F1 team. Apparently, also, their chief of strategy is female and their head of communications is female.
Wow.
So that's kind of exciting.
That is. Like, good for them.
Okay. Good for you guys. So, good luck to Tatiana. Hopefully she drives an F1.
Yeah.
I think it's been quite some time since there's ever been an F1, a female on the F1 grid. I don't know if there's been one in a race or not. Somebody obviously can check on that. I know that a few of them probably have led practices or whatnot, yeah. But I don't know if there's ever been anybody to kind of make that final jump into that starting grid.
Yeah. You know, I don't know that either. Yeah. So, well, that would be exciting. I mean, I don't remember... there be...
Oh, if it's been anything, it's been like 80s, yeah, 70s.
Yeah, been a while. Yeah. So yeah.
Not before us, but...
But yeah, but best of luck to her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not any news, really. I know that NHRA is continuing kind of the march on to their big kind of final championship, I believe. Both of the four sisters and Alexis DeJora have all kind of moved on. So here in a couple of weeks, hopefully one of them can kind of take home a big prize.
Yeah.
That would be exciting.
That would be very exciting. Well, we'll keep you posted on them for sure.
Shit we didn't make up.
November 1st, 1982, in Marysville, Ohio, which is just one short hour away from the Mid-Ohio Racecourse, Honda produced its very first car in the United States.
I don't know if any hour in an Ohio drive is a short hour.
I mean...
kind of a long drive.
It can be, yeah.
Yeah. But it's exciting, and I only found this and Googled it because I used to work for Honda, and one of the biggest things people are like, I don't want to buy from Honda, they're not an American company. Well, they make the damn cars here, so stop it.
Right, yeah, they're made here, they're assembled made here.
It's like they're employing American workers, calm down. So, let's see, 82, 35 years ago.
Yeah.
That's a long run.
That is a long run.
Considering what everybody's, you know, like the Toyota and the bankruptcies and whatnot, so that's exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, good for you, Honda.
Yeah.
Good for you. Look, Ma, we're learning.
Look, Ma, we're learning.
Okay, so the Mazda Road to Indy, that's the ladder series for IndyCar.
It's the ladder series.
Oh, and you drew a ladder.
I drew a ladder. Well, nice. I don't know if we could ever call anything I do a ladder. Or drawing.
Well, I mean, I like it. I like your drawings.
I appreciate
it. I thoroughly enjoy them. All right.
They're like art therapy for convicts.
For convicts?
Yes. Like comic art therapy.
All right. So the USF scholarship shootout.
So that's to get into the first level.
That is. So there's a $200,000 scholarship to help you enter the USF 2000, which is the bottom level.
Yeah.
It's for ages 14 to 25. Mm-hmm. So we are too old.
Yeah, we are. We are too old to enter the ladder. Well, to enter the shootout.
Damn.
I don't know if there's not like an age cap for everything else, but.
Yeah, I mean, I get that. And you must be a part of a smaller series like SCCA or something like that.
Like SCCA, there's like a British racing and sports car, Formula Ford Australia.
Karting,
any of kind of like the national karting associations. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's how you enter. So you, I don't know, there's a shootout. I'm guessing that means there's a race.
I would assume so.
Yeah. And so that gets you the money to get in the first tier, which is the USF 2000.
And that started in 2010.
Yes.
It is 14 races over 7 weekends. The winner takes $325,000 scholarship to advance.
Yes.
And winners in the past in 99 was Dan Weldon.
Mm-hmm.
2006 was J.R. Hildebrand.
4-1-0 for J.R. It's okay. I get a little worked up over J.R. too.
I think I had some man bun hair stuck in my throat. And then 2010 was Sage Karam. He was the winner.
Yeah. And so they're driving what's known as a Taudis USF 17. As the name suggests, it debuted in 2017.
Shocker.
I know. Really? Really?
Right.
The engine is a Mazda MCR 2 liter, and it gets about 175 horsepower.
All right.
Yeah, that's pretty exciting. So that's tier one. Tier two is the Pro Mazda. This one started in 2013, so 9 weekends, 16 races, so do the math. The winner gets a $790,000 scholarship to advance on the Indy Lights level, but the top three finishers all get to test with Indy Lights, which is kind of nice for the other two.
That is nice.
Again, some winners, 2014, Piggott. 2011, Vautier, and 2010, Connor Daly.
All right.
Yeah. They also drive something that's a Taudis. It's the USF 18. It's going to debut in this upcoming season, so that's 2018. If anybody was at the testing at IMS a couple of weekends ago, that's what the Pro Mazda were driving. It was the new chassis.
Yeah.
Or the new car.
Yeah.
It uses the 2017 USF So it uses the USF 17 chassis. So I think that's supposed to help the kids. Let's call them kids because they really are kids.
Yeah, start at 14.
I mean, let's go. A transition from the, you know, USF to Pro Mazda. It similar engine, Mazda MZR PM 18A 2 liter, and it gets 275 horsepower.
Okay, so.
So they're kicking it up a little bit.
They are. And then we've got the Indy Lights. And Indy Lights started in 2002.
Mm-hmm.
Oops. It is 17 races over 10 weekends.
Yes.
The winner receives a $1 million scholarship and 3 guaranteed races in IndyCar, and that includes the Indy 500.
I don't know if it's included, but...
Well, I mean, it's not excluded. Take it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you get your pick of 3 races, but the Indy 500 is an option.
Right.
And why would you not?
Why would you not?
Why would you not?
Why not?
So, yeah. Yeah, why would you not?
Why wouldn't you?
Yeah. So,
why wouldn't you?
Yeah. Any chance? Hell yes.
Yes.
Yes and hell yes.
If the answer is, would you like to, for the Indy 500, yes.
Yes.
I don't care what it is.
Yes, I would.
Yes.
So some past winners, 2016, Ed Jones.
Yeah.
2015, Spencer Pigot.
Yeah.
2011, Newgarden.
Yep.
2009, Hildebrand.
Poor one up for one, Tommy.
Right. 2000, Dixon. And 97, Kanaan.
Yeah.
What year did Pippa win? We didn't list her.
Pippa did not. She placed in the Formula One, in the Freedom 100, but she didn't.
Oh, she didn't win the championship.
Yeah, she didn't win the championship.
Okay.
But it was the Freedom 100, which they run.
They do. They run that on Carb Day.
Race weekend. So I'm going.
All right. And they drive the Dallara DL15, which Dallara is located on Main Street in Speedway, Indiana.
It's a very pretty facility.
It is a very pretty facility.
I've gone there for a couple events, and you're just like,
yeah, it's very really nice. Pretty. We actually looked at that for my sister's wedding reception, but it doesn't hold enough people. But we thought, how much fun would that be?
That would be perfect.
Right?
I mean, but to be fair, instead, it was the brickyard.
It was still, okay. It was at the brickyard golf course.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, yeah, we were just down the road. So Dallara makes the chassis for IndyCar, but they also do for the Indy Lights as well.
Which I think is also kind of another, like, help the kiddos ease in from
Indy Lights. It's a similar car, similar piece of equipment. So when you move up to the next level, you know, it's not all completely foreign to you. So they use the Dallara DL15,
mm-hmm.
which debuted in 2015.
Hobby.
It's the Mazda MZR 2.0 liter, 450 horsepower.
And
50 horsepower push to pass.
So the kids in Indy Lights get push to pass.
They do. Well, because they do road courses and all that. I mean, not that the other cars don't, but.
I think they're also, again, it's kind of the whole point of a ladder series is kind of to immerse, step in and learn things as you keep going.
I mean, same as when you think about, you know, like if you play baseball, you probably started with T-ball.
Mm-hmm.
And then you started with, you know, slow pitch with the adults and the, you know, the coaches, the parents pitching. And then eventually the kids were pitching. And now it's like you gradually learn more parts and pieces to the game. And so I think it's kind of a similar.
Yeah. And I know NASCAR has one. I think theirs have the truck series. I'm not sure about that. I don't care.
Yeah, I don't know how any of that shit with the truck series work.
I know there's like this weird truck series. I don't get it. Formula One has it with like the F3, the Renault series, maybe. I'm just saying words that I've heard with F1.
Yeah, now you're just
Grand Prix. You're just Alonso. McLaren.
Schumacher.
Schumacher, that's right. Right?
Ferrari.
Red Bull. That's there.
Porsche.
Excuse me, it's Porsche.
It's Porsche.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. What state are we in?
You're right. It's Porsche.
So.
Okay, so we also want to talk about lots of tracks created fake horror movie
posters.
With race car drivers in them. And they were all entertaining.
When we retweeted them all, because I was sitting in a conference room, done by the time I got the last time. And I know this is kind of weirdly visual, but it's on our Twitter, which, oh!
Speaking of, if you don't follow our Twitter, you should. At FastCarsIN317. FastCars317. And our Instagram, at FastCarsFastGirls. We also have a Facebook page, facebook.com/FastCarsFastGirls. Or just search Fast Cars Fast Girls in your Facebook search bar. And,
well, we have a website.
We have a website that, despite lots of promises, I didn't do a goddamn thing with this week. www.fastcarsfastgirls.com.
I thought you were going to say www.sorrynotsorry.
No, that's the website for my memoir.
Should really be www.youshouldhavenownbynow. Right.
.com. What did you expect?
With a shruggy emoji.
That's
the shruggy emoji.
That's actually the story of every relationship I've ever been in and how it ended. Me. When they're like, I can't believe you, blah, blah. What did you expect?
But what did you expect?
What did you expect?
Come on.
I can't believe you're never on time. I was late to our first date. In what world would you think that I would suddenly get more punctual?
I need you to realize that I've actually accepted this about you.
Yeah.
I'm okay with it.
I mean, who are in my life, I'm on time for important things, but I specifically show up. The track
is St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
That's it.
And weddings.
And weddings.
Yeah.
That you're in.
And work. I'm not late to work.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
But yeah, like little things, like I'll be there in 5. Like, do you want a real instrument? I mean, if you need me there at a specific time, you have to let me know, like, absolutely.
Blah,
blah, blah. I get distracted. I get chit-chatting with people. But yeah, no, I strategically show up to a first date.
Well, first off,
I show up late for a couple reasons. Number one.
Power move.
It is a power move. So number one, power move.
Yeah.
Number two, I get there early, long before you get there, because my dad was a cop. And I want to see, A, what car you're in. I need the make, model, and color. And I take a picture of your license plate in case you try to kill me.
Yep.
And I send it to one of my friends with your picture.
I also judge by the car.
Oh, I don't judge by the car, because I've had a lot of shitty cars. But I do want to make sure I get a good look at your plate.
Mm-hmm.
But then I also want to manage expectations. And I don't want you to come back to me in a year and be like, you're never on time. What did you expect?
Come on.
What did you expect?
Come on.
And my mom says to me things like, I think you guys cuss too much. My first word was son of a bitch. What did you expect? And what story was she telling last week at my birthday? She was like, yeah, I'm room for your baby shower. We had a kegger out in the back. The keg for my baby shower. What did you expect?
Yeah, I got some shit about cursing in the last episode.
Did you?
I did.
Get fucked.
Boy, Liquor and Lights is going to be real fun this year.
That's what I have to say about that. What did you expect? My first word was a cuss word. Yeah, a kegger for my baby shower. I wasn't going to be any way except the way that I am.
That is the title of your memoirs. What did you expect?
What did you expect?
Shruggy emoji.
Yeah.
Mm. It's also a good emoji to use.
Mm. It is, yeah. That's my entire life. What did you expect? So, anyhow.
So, back to the website.
Back to the website. What did you expect? Yeah. So that hasn't happened yet.
So if you go to it, though, it flips you right to Podbean, which is our host site for our podcast. But we are on Stitcher, TuneIn, I think Blurberry. I'm not sure how it's pronounced. Google Play and iTunes. Search us, Fast Cars, Fast Girls. If you also just search IndyCar, we're also listed a lot, too.
We are listed there as well. So make sure you like us, rate us, subscribe, download, all that good stuff.
Tell your friends, tell your friends, family.
People you like, people you don't like, take their phones, download it, write reviews from their phone. I mean, whatever.
We might lose a few people after I leave my job. I thought about this. I was like, damn, I have half of our office downloading this. They're gonna be like, she's not here.
Just set it on auto-subscribe and then hide it.
I mean, it is.
Yeah. Well, then fine. Yeah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't worry about it.
I think we're fine.
So, all right. So they had a Scott Dixon one that was Day of the Dixon.
And I don't know who's doing the social media for these tracks, but... Damn!
Yeah, well done.
It's like good Photoshop.
Yeah.
Not like...
Well done.
Bad Photoshop.
Yeah, no, not crappy Photoshop. It's actually legit.
So they started it off. And then the Grand Prix of St. Pete popped in and used Paranormal Activity. I feel like this one was a bit of a stretch.
It was a bit of a stretch.
Paranew Garden Activity. And it's... I've actually not watched this movie, so I don't... Stop, dog. Stop wagging your tail.
You know, I haven't either because
as we discussed last time,
we weren't allowed to dress up for Halloween, and so we certainly weren't allowed to watch scary movies.
Especially movies about, like, possession.
Yeah.
Like, I think we've all seen...
The Exorcist. Well, and what's funny is that I used to sneak over my friend's house, so since I was never allowed to watch scary movies... Like, once I hit, like, junior high, maybe even, like, sixth grade, like, fifth or sixth grade, like, I started to sneak over my friend's houses to watch them. But because I hadn't grown up being scared,
Yeah, you're just like, whatever. I don't
like,
know.
They just make me laugh because they're so like, cheesy scream. And so ridiculous. Scream. I laughed the entire time.
It does not scare me.
Everybody else was super scared. I'm like, this is so ridiculous.
I can watch, like, the Possession movies and be like, meh, it is what it is. Like, okay, cool, where's the priest? Like, let go.
Yeah, right? Like, you know what you need? A Catholic priest.
A Catholic priest. Get some holy water. Let's finish this.
You know shit is serious if you need a priest.
Right.
So.
Or a Catholic.
But yeah, no, I've not ever seen any of those.
So.
Of the paranormal activities.
Yeah, I... St. Pete did Para New Garden activity. That's a bit of a stretch.
A little bit.
And of course, Honda Indy Toronto had to step up and...
The Blair Hinch Project.
I'm okay. That one's not bad.
I enjoy it.
It's closer than a Para New Garden.
Yeah.
You could have gone with Para Alio activity. That rolls a little bit better.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know. And then, well, I don't know what
and
happened.
And then there's Rossi's Portland.
And then Portland said... Hey guys, we're Portland.
Hold my beer.
Well, it's Portland, so it's Hold My IPA that was brewed from my, like, craft beer.
Yeah.
Like, I love Portland, but I think this really encapsulates what everybody does not realize is going to happen. Portland is a little...
It's weird. Portland's a little weird. The Rossi Horror Picture Show. And they just put his face...
Right there.
...on the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Didn't change anything else.
And I'm not going to lie to you. I feel like Rossi would look good in that outfit. I feel like he'd look great in a pair of thigh-high fishnets. I mean, I don't know that many people that wouldn't look great in thigh-high fishnets. And maybe that's because I'm a child of the 80s. But I love thigh-high fishnets.
If Tim Curry can pull it off, I feel like anybody can.
Agreed. If you think you can't pull it off. Tim Curry wore them and rocked them.
I will say the best part of that is the first driver to reply to the Rossi Horror Picture Show was Hinch, who just wrote, I'm speechless. And then Rossi wrote back, same, #, but why though?
You know why. You know why. Because you're a serial killer.
You're a serial killer. Everybody knows. So we thought we'd have a little more Halloween fun because it is Halloween as we're taping.
It is. It is Halloween tonight. So we're just going to run through some famous horror movies.
Okay.
And
that we've probably never seen.
Yep.
I mean, I've seen some.
Some of them. And we're either going to change the titles to have drivers in them, or we're going to adjust them in some way.
Okay.
So, like, a movie that came out in 2017.
I didn't watch
Scary movie, Get Out.
I don't feel like that one was actually scary. It was more a socioeconomic thing.
Well, it's listed on Rotten Tomatoes. I mean, I didn't see it, but the horror movie Get Out, that's probably Connor Daly's life when he got back from filming The Amazing Race.
We didn't talk about that. We need to talk about that for a second. How shitty was that?
Yeah.
I mean, the guy allegedly, because, like, nobody can say it, but we all know.
We all know.
Like, he's like, hey guys, I gotta go tape The Amazing Race with Alexander Rossi and be part of #, as I've already called it, Team IndyCar.
And then he comes back to find out he doesn't have a job next year.
Larry Fort was like, bye.
You know, it is shitty. I've been in that situation where I leave to go on vacation and they say, hey, we want to give you an extension. And I'm like, that's great. But I'm already off the clock. So I will sign all my paperwork when I get back, blah, blah, blah. And then I come back and they're like, just kidding.
That fucking handshake.
And I'm like, oh, so this last week where I was not putting in time looking for a job because I thought I had one?
That's fantastic.
Awesome.
That's
thanks.
Awesome. Yeah, because, I mean, he's coming on the eight ball.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I mean, because we're pretty late in the silly season.
Uh-huh.
All right, let's see. Psycho. Which IndyCar driver would scare you the most?
Coming up behind you?
In the shower.
Rossi, because he kills people.
But wouldn't you secretly like to be in a shower with Rossi? Only because he'd be staring at himself in the mirror the whole time. It'd be super weird.
It would be weird.
It'd be
like, oh,
super weird. Super weird. All right.
First of all, King Kong is not a horror movie.
Yeah, this is an odd list, Rotten Tomatoes. Let's see. Frankenstein. Well, I feel like if Kanan races as long as he wants to, he's going to start to look like Frankenstein.
True. They're going to have to... Rosemary's Baby.
Rosemary's Baby.
That's a good one.
Marco.
Marco is Rosemary's Baby.
He is Rosemary's Baby. Yep. Keep changing that car number.
That's
the problem. Oh, the birds. That was a good movie. Now, I was allowed to watch Hitchcock movies.
Yeah, and I think those, I mean, they're horror movies, but they're not, like, demonic horror movies. Those
they're not demonic horror movies. Well, I think we watched it at school.
Actually, yeah, that sounds about something to do at school.
Yeah.
The birds, ooh. Well, Donna the Dixon is RJ again, but he is a Kiwi, and they are birds.
That's true.
My That's logic true. Is sound. I also think that's Pagano's nightmare of just little birds with Newgarb's faces just coming at him. That scene when Tippy's stuck in, like, the phone booth.
Yeah.
Just a bunch of Newgarb birds.
Just coming at you over and over again. Just dive bombing. Pagano's like, I'm coming for you, Joseph Newgarb!
No, Joseph, why are you here? Oh, did you see on his, this is a tangent, on his Instagram, because I know how obsessed you are with his Jean Girard. So he's back in France. He Instagrammed a breakfast and he goes, when you're in France, what do you eat? And he just put hashtag crepes. He's like, hashtag Jean Girard. And I was like, yes, embrace it, Simon.
Silence of the Lambs. That's a good movie. That's like a thriller.
That's a good movie.
You know, like a Saw-themed survival games with IndyCar drivers would be pretty hilarious. I mean, not like actually you had to like cut off limbs and things, but something along those lines.
I mean, I feel like ultimately it would come down to willpower and Scott Dixon.
I agree, because they're not scared of anything.
They would just both stare at each other like, well, now what do we do?
I mean, I feel like Rossi would be quite the contender.
He might be third.
Yeah.
He might be third.
Yeah. Because I feel like he would wake up and he'd be like handcuffed and they'd be like, you know, the key is inside you. And he would just be like, boom, like just cut straight to his arm. Not even wince, well, not even blink.
Poor kid. We like him, but we like to drag him. It's fine.
Cat People from 1942. That's listed as a horror movie. It's not a horror movie. That's my life.
Biography.
Invasion of the Body Snatchers. Let's see. Carrie. Well, that would clearly star Danica Patrick. I strategically timed that when Molly took a drink.
Oh, my God.
Sorry.
Oh, my God.
Sorry, not sorry.
Yeah, that's all right. I'm...
Let's see.
Oh, I'm sorry. Drag Me to Hell is Simon Pagano at Bomarito.
Yeah. Yeah. Zombieland. The double tap.
Double tap.
There's always double tap. A
couple of rules there. I don't know who shoots him. Who would survive zombies, do you think?
I mean...
Because it's not like you have to have no fear, but you also have to be, like, sneaky... And good survival skills.
Yeah, you need survival skills. You also need the ability to remove their head.
Yes.
I'm gonna go with Power and Dixon again. I mean, everything in Australia is trying to kill you. I feel like
truth.
They are made to survive That's a horror
true.
Movie.
That's true.
I mean, I also feel like I do okay in a horror movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I would win.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like we'd do pretty good. Yeah.
I automatically win them.
Why do you automatically win?
Who always survives horror movies?
Oh.
ooh, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
I think we saw that. That was the race this year.
That's actually...
In fact, there was less carnage in the movie than there was at the Texas 600.
Fact.
The Shining.
Juan. Trying to get a ride. Here's Juan!
Or, like, who lost their shit the most this season? Who went from, like, I would say Ed would be, like, the lead of The Shining. Like, he went from, like, normal to, like, Ed wanting to kill his whole family. Ed. Can't wait for this season to be over.
Yeah. I think The Shining is the autobiography of 2017 for Ed.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what happened.
Where he full-on, lost his shit. Gremlins. I think that's the story of Pat McAfee glamping this year at the Indy 500, because you also can't feed him after dark. Or
no, get him wet.
Or get him wet.
Allegedly.
Oh, my
allegedly,
God. He cannot get wet because of his eardrum.
I really love that we didn't even plan it. That just happened.
That just happened.
It happened.
That's why he would never swim in the canal. No matter how drunk he was.
I was also thinking Gremlins could be the how Ryan Hunter Ray feels about all the rest of his teammates.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got a bunch. Well, Marco's not that young, but they're all a lot younger, I feel, than Zach.
Yeah, he's like 12.
Yeah, he's 12.
His balls haven't even dropped yet.
I don't feel like Zach would survive a horror movie.
Oh, he definitely wouldn't survive. No.
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 No. Marco wouldn't survive at all either.
No. No, Marco's going to be the guy that's like cheating on his girlfriend and gets killed that way. Like, he's like one of the first people out, but you're okay with it because you're like, he seems kind of like a dick.
Douche. I'm fine with this one. He's the death that everybody goes, eh.
Right?
Okay.
We're like, maybe he's not a serial killer. Maybe it's just somebody that thought he was a dick.
You're like, is this a horror movie or is this just like revenge killing?
Right,
I'm kind of cool either way. I'm not advocating the murder.
I mean, per se.
Per se. So, see, we think Power would definitely survive. What do you think Aelio? Would Aelio survive a horror movie?
I think Aelio would.
There's a lot to say.
I think that he would be, like, if they were all in a horror movie together, he would be oblivious to the fact that other people were dying because he'd still be in the bathroom doing his hair.
He and Sage.
And, like, he'd be the person that, like, would have all the creepy scenes where, like, he opens, the, like, the mirrored cabinet to, like, get something, and then he shuts it. But, like, he turns away, but the audience can see that there's a killer in the background. But he's paying no attention. He's, like, got music on, singing to himself, like, walks dancing in and out of the room. Yeah. Until he finally just gets killed.
What do you think? You're a big Joseph fan. Would Joseph survive?
No.
there was no hesitation that part.
No.
Nah.
No, I don't think so. He would give it a good effort.
That's true.
He'd give a good effort but he would definitely get killed while trying to run away.
Yeah.
He's a runner. He's a runner. And I'll tell you what I'm not gonna do. I'm not gonna run. I'm not gonna run and then die.
No.
Those are two things I don't wanna do. I don't want to die yet, and I hate running. So I'm not going to end this life running, period.
I mean, I like to run, but I feel like I'd end up having to put up a fight.
I mean, I'm going to put up a fight. First off, I have a gun.
Well,
so
there is that.
And I'm quite handy with knives. I will use anything.
Things that you learn on this podcast.
Yeah. Of the two of us, well, you have a taser, so.
I have the taser.
You probably should just keep your distance.
And I run.
Yeah, I'm not running away. I'm going to face you head on.
That's true. What about Simon? I feel like Simon's the guy, though, but you're like, you're not sure who the serial killer is. Like, it might be Simon.
Like, you're like, you think it might be Simon.
Be, and you're like, man, he's French. Is he up to no good?
Maybe. Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe.
So he's like that, like, you don't know.
You don't know. He's like the anti-hero.
Yeah, but then he ultimately gets killed.
So. No, I see him surviving.
But he's like, you don't like that he survived?
Yeah.
You're like, ugh, this guy? Damn it. Well, I feel like half of the Andretti Autosport would die except for Rossi.
Yeah, agreed.
Agreed. Dixon makes it. I don't know enough about Hench. What about Hench?
It depends on the setting of the horror movie.
Oh!
Because he is Canadian. And so I feel like there's, if you're, you know, if it's like a you know, cabin in the woods kind of thing. Yeah. Like, I feel like I would do well Cabin in the Woods, and then also Inner City, because I have experience with country and city.
Country and Western.
We have both cabins. But I feel like, you know, he's Canadian. I guess I just assume that he has general survival skills, being Canadian.
I mean, I don't...
Growing up in the Great White North.
I don't know who would be upset with that assumption, unless...
Yeah.
I mean, maybe he can't even start a fire.
I mean, that's possible. But I feel like that's not the case for him. So I feel like he would just dip and, like, go live in the woods for a couple days and then
roll back
like a week later and be like, looks like some shit went down.
What's up, A?
Yeah.
Rolling in with some Tim Hortons. What's up, A?
Anybody need some coffee?
I got maple syrup.
Yeah. So, yeah. But hand-to-hand combat, I don't know. But if it was, like, inner city...
Like, I don't know his street skills.
Yeah, I don't know
his street skills.
I don't know that he's got street skills.
I don't know. It depends. I like that. That's such a lawyer answer. Well, it depends.
It depends.
Ooh, what about Bourdais? He's kind of feisty.
I mean, and he's got like titanium parts now. So
true. He's basically the bionic man.
He is, but I still feel like he's gonna die too.
Alrighty. I feel like Ray Hall would just whine.
Yeah, Ray Hall's going to be the guy that, like, gets killed, like, in a really hilarious way, but, like, is still whining the whole time he's dying. Like, the girl in Scream that got caught in the cat door in the garage.
Yes!
Yeah, when the door opened.
Is that saying something that we laughed at those movies?
I think it says a lot. Ooh. I think it says a lot about us.
And then I think that Sato might survive, though.
Minorities don't do well in horror movies. I mean, I'm just putting it out there. I mean, Sato was a person? Sure. Sato was a Japanese person? Definitely dead.
That's true.
I'm just going statistically here.
I know. What about TK?
No, he's not going to survive. He's going to try to fight the guy off because
That's true, because he's like...
He's going to face him head on. He's going to be like, yeah, we're going to end this right now.
But he's going to be the guy who, like, wounds the killer. So, like, somebody else, a.k.a. us...
Yeah.
But we're not in this horror movie.
Or, yeah, Dixon or Will.
Or Dixon Power, yeah. Or Will would, like, swoop in and, like, after he's been wounded, be like, now we can get him.
But, yeah. Yeah, he definitely wounded him, for sure.
Yeah. I don't know how to say this. I feel like Ed Carpenter would be the killer. There's a lot of rage in Ed.
I mean, this season, probably.
It might be Ed.
Bitch, I might be.
Bitch, I might. But if he's going down, it's going to be epic.
I think so.
He could be the killer.
He could be.
It could be Ed, guys. Or Rossi. I mean, it's one of the two. Depends.
I mean, Rossi, I feel like, is like calculated kills spread out over multiple weeks, months, years, countries, cities. Whereas, yeah, Ed's more of like, everybody's in one house. I'm going to kill everybody in this one house this weekend.
So since we have watched every episode of Law and Order and a lot of Criminal Minds and whatnot, I feel like that Rossi is the definition of a serial killer because there's the pauses between the killers.
Yes, whereas...
Ed is a rage killer.
He's a spree killer.
He's a spree killer. There it is.
Yeah, yep. He's a spree killer, not a serial, so...
Yeah, wow. This took a dark turn. It's like a very dark turn. Spencer? I don't know how Spencer's
arriving. I don't think so.
I don't think so.
No, I'm going to go with him now.
Mm-mm. What about Connor?
I feel like Connor would be providing comic relief.
Yes. But I can't remember if that kind of character trope survives or dies. And it's like 50-50.
Yeah, it can go either way. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really could. So, all right, well, that was fun.
That was fun.
I hope you guys had as much fun as we did there. If not, well, hopefully you just fast-forwarded then.
Yeah.
Okay, so we do want to talk about an image that Doug Bowles had posted last week. And they... removed core samples. They were testing the track and all that. And
they were tire testing?
They were not in fact tire testing, but
testing.
Close. So they removed like this cylinder.
I mean, it's literally like a core you see in a horror movie, gosh. But in like an alien movie, they're like, we have to dig into the ground.
Yeah.
Wah, wah, wah.
And it's like a cylinder that they brought up, and so it's got all these different levels of the track. And so they put together this infographic that talks about each layer and when it was from. So if you haven't seen that, we retweeted it. Check it out on our Twitter. It's pretty cool.
But there are
parts of the track all the way back from 1909.
Yeah, which is kind of cool if you think. Like, that's still underneath everything.
Yeah.
Like, that's amazing to me.
It really is. I mean, there's still bricks in there from when the track was all brick.
Oh, my God. That'd be so horrible.
Oh, my gosh, right? Let's see, 61 balance of brick on the main straight covered with asphalt that left only the 3-foot strip at the start finish line.
Yep. Which, you know, extends all the way through.
Yep. And it's still there. And then 76, it was resurfaced with asphalt. In 88, it was resurfaced. In 95, resurfaced following the removal of 5 inches from the surface.
Oh my.
The first occasion on which all pre-existing surfaces no longer remained. With the exception of portions removed upon installation of the tunnels.
Yeah, and I think they were, like, grinding it or making it smooth. I don't know. You know, if you're going to smooth something out, you're going to kind of wear it down so you get that nice level.
Absolutely.
But the bricks are still there. So we say they did all this, but the bricks are still there.
The bricks are still there. In 2002, they started using the process of diamond grinding to make it...
Oh, that's it.
To make it smoother. And then in 2004... pit lane and the warm-up lanes were resurfaced following removal of approximately 2.5 inches of asphalt from the surface.
Cool.
So, yeah, from 1909 all the way up to 2004, you can see all these different layers of things that happened. So yeah,
kind of exciting.
Yeah, pretty cool. Just a little piece of history.
Is it May yet?
Is it May yet? We're so excited. So excited. So
I don't know how we're gonna make it today.
We have holidays coming up.
That's true.
Yeah, we have holidays coming up, so I mean, we can say that for ourselves. We've got Thanksgiving and Christmas, which we are already wanting to decorate for Christmas. Because you know what? The outdoors is already decorated for Thanksgiving. Because Thanksgiving is fall colors. It's fall outside.
I mean, what's Thanksgiving? You get together, you eat a turkey. Well, that's not happening.
I mean, I have to work all weekend, so.
Well, there's that, but like, we don't eat turkey.
Oh, you don't? Oh, well, yeah. I was like, I thought you meant your family. I was like, you guys don't do turkey?
Oh, no, the rest of the family.
Oh, yeah.
But we don't eat turkey.
I'll eat turkey on Thanksgiving, on Christmas. Mm-mm. I will. Turkey is my favorite meat, actually.
I had no idea.
Yeah, turkey is the one meat that, like, it's like my Achilles heel, like, hence why I got a jumbo turkey leg. Many times on Georgetown Road. I love turkey.
First of all, the jumbo turkey legs are...
smoked and delicious.
It's like a classic, though.
It is. It is. But yeah, no, I will still eat turkey on Christmas because I'm a cheater. Because I'm a damn cheater. I'm a flexitarian, not a vegetarian. So, all right. Well, I think maybe we should white flag it.
I think we should white flag it.
What do you got?
Damn it. I wasn't ready. So I got to do some STEM stuff with Girl Scouts on Saturday.
Oh, you did? Yes. I wanted to talk about that.
I completely forgot. It was a lot of fun. So I did my work with the Indiana Donor Network. And one of the things we had were a set of lungs that we had like a foot pedal that would like expand and contract. And it was really interesting to see some of the girls would look at it and like see all the other displays we had, because we had like knee and bone and then like an eye display, and the questions that they were asking were great.
Yeah,
like we would kind of give our spiel, but you could see about one in every 15 girls were like, okay, but what if this happened, or what if this happened? And I was like, okay, like this is the natural curiosity that we need to help girls develop.
We need to foster.
It was really great. I mean, and then there were some of them were like, ew, it's gross. And I kind of want to look at some of them were there with their parents, and I was like, you need to stop this. It's not gross. It's cool. Like,
right.
It's not gross. It's interesting.
Yeah.
It's I don't know what this is. Cool. Tell me about it.
Yeah.
It was a great event. I mean, I've been a Girl Scout forever, and I'm not in STEM, but I was for a bit. It was really nice.
Very cool.
I'm glad that the track does slump. I mean, those poor girls slept out at the track Saturday night.
Oh God.
I know. I've done that though as a Girl Scout. You camp in some pretty shitty weather.
I mean, I feel like every time I camped as a Girl Scout, it was shitty weather.
Yeah. Well, it's Indiana, so I'm just waiting.
Yeah.
But it was a lot of fun.
That's fun that they let them camp out the track, though.
Yeah, they kind of the infield.
Yeah.
Kind of the infield. I know they all got to ride bikes around the track. And
fun.
Yeah. I think for a lot of girls, you know, it's good to get them experience and kind of let them see all the different STEM stuff. Like, we were right next to, like, a guy who had a bunch of snakes, which I'm not about, but whatever.
Oh, I'm into it.
He had one on his hat. He's like, do you want to pet this? And I was like, no.
See, I'd have been like, yeah. Can I spend the rest of the day with the snake on my head?
He probably would have let you.
Yeah, I would have been so about that.
Which is fine. They had Cody there. I mean, it was a good thing. Pippa was actually there, and she gave a cute little speech to the girls about like how they could become race drivers. And I was like, oh my God, I hope one of them does it. So it was fun. So that, I think that's my white flag.
I don't know that I really have anything else. Gearing up to go back to work since I've had the last week off for my birthday, so now I have to come back to reality.
Oh boy.
And nothing makes me dislike working more than having time off work. You'd think it would be the opposite, but in actuality I realized that I would be so much happier if I didn't have to work. So, you know, if you know anybody with a lot of money that wants to sponsor this podcast so that I could work at my other job less, that'd be awesome.
That would be great.
That'd be great.
All the races we're going to are going to cost a lot of money.
They are. They are. And I still need a new job. You got a new job.
I just got a new job.
It's,
so.
Yeah, Project Abby is a new job.
That was Project Abby.
Abby wants to work less but make more money. We'll see. I don't know that that's going to work out for me in my particular field, but we'll see. We'll see. So, yeah. And I hope that nobody hates Christmas music, because as of next week, it'll be November and we're going to start playing Christmas music. Because
that's how we roll.
Thanksgiving decorates for itself.
Yeah, and we're doing Liquor and Lights before Thanksgiving. So that's really Christmas.
Yeah, so it has our stuff has to be up by then.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for listening.
Guys, thanks. God, it is time for Christmas.
It is. Yeah. I know. I actually thought, I was like, well, Bird killed me if I put the tree up, but she's leaving tomorrow at 7 a.m., so she can come home to the tree up because she's gone for 11 days.
Oh, my God.
Well, not...
Like back-to-back-to-back. Like,
I mean, pretty close to back-to-back, but not all in the same place.